The Lord's been dealing with me all week about this. I put together a message for today, but in light of all that's been happening this week, the Holy Spirit has just been dealing with me and spoke to me particularly to change what I was going to share, just to put it off to the side until probably next week. I was going to start a series today, but in light of all that's been going on this week, and in particular with the election, the Lord just sat me down and just gave me a story that's in the Bible that I want to direct your attention to today, to encourage you, to help you to refocus. Now, and actually this morning, the Lord woke me up about 5 o'clock this morning, and I just got up and just began to pray and just prayed and just prayed in tongues and prayed with the Spirit and with understanding for all that's going on. I just felt compelled that the Holy Spirit would call me to do that. And so I know that as we saw the votes come in and we see that the nation in so many ways is split in half. There's tens of millions that voted for one candidate. There's tens of millions that voted for another candidate. And at this point right now, and especially in light of yesterday's announcement that the Associated Press, by the way, the Associated Press doesn't crown a president, doesn't declare the election. It's the laws that do that. It's the voters that do that. But it has to be confirmed, and then certainly there's going to be different things going to be going on in the courts with the different things that are being put out there as far as lawsuits and different things. So just hold steady, America, because we really don't know who the president is yet. Okay, so just because the celebrations that went on yesterday means very little. It means a lot, but it means very little in the sense of this isn't over yet. And I'm not vouching for one candidate over the other. I'm just trying to just let you know, just because it's on the news and there's a celebration going on doesn't mean one way or the other. It simply means that there's a celebration going on. But nothing has been legally and finally confirmed in that. But I know that in the light of the election, about half of our nation is elated right now, and the other half is in despair. And I would say that maybe 100% of the nation has had high blood pressure this week in light of all that's been going on. It's certainly been a stressful week. And it's really been a stressful year, hasn't it? And it's only November the 7th or 8th or whatever date this is, November the 8th. And this year's not even over yet. This has been some more year for the record books. I don't know if I've said this yet, but I'll say it today. This is kind of actually a joke. I think it's funny, but someone was looking at buying a calendar for next year, and their comment was, "I'm not going to buy it until I see the previews." And I agree. I don't want to waste my money on a calendar that I'm not going to enjoy. So, as I said, I've wrestled to share this today, but I feel I need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit in what I need to share here today. And I'm not so naive to think that what I'm about to share today, 100% of those that are viewing and 100% of the people that are here are going to necessarily agree with, but I still have got to serve my Lord and not man. And so I want to share with you a story out of the Bible. I'm just going to preach the Bible today, as I always intend to do while I'm at this pulpit, okay? I'm not going to preach politics. I'm not going to preach my opinion. But I'm going to preach the Bible today. And I want to encourage you as a congregation today, those that are viewing here today. And please don't be offended by any of this. Please be open-hearted about this, okay, with what I'm going to share. Because I share this with a deep sense of love for the congregation, for the body of Christ, and for this nation. Amen. But I want to encourage you today. I'm not sad. I'm I just feel I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit over me. Whenever I do, if you've been here long enough, you know that I just start to cry. I can't control it, and I'm not going to try to. I just cry. I can't. I'm a crybaby. I am. I'm a crybaby, and I don't cry pretty. If some people cry pretty, I don't cry pretty. I make a face. It gets messy. My voice changes. It's weird. But I'm just going to barrel through this, and the Holy Spirit's going to help me. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of the Gospels, this story is documented. So rather than me read one particular version of it, I'm going to compile all versions together into the story that I'm about ready to tell you. And I'm purposely not putting anything up on the screen today except for this one phrase. Today I want us to look at God's perspective on everything that's going on, not just this last week, but in this last year, and really in the course of time, because I want us as a church, I want us as the body of Christ worldwide, I believe that the Holy Spirit is telling us to pull way back in our perspective. Way back. I mean, way back in our perspective. So far back that our perspective is God's perspective. What is God's perspective and what's going on as you take what happened this week and add to everything else that's been going on, not just this year, but in the course of time? We just came out of a series that I preached on Revelation. And we spent about a chapter a week on it. So it took about 22 weeks or roughly to go through Revelation. So we spent a good chunk of this year on Revelation. And if we remember what Revelation was all about, it was about the end times. And Revelation is kind of a scary, intimidating book to many people. But I believe the Holy Spirit gave it to us in such a bite-sized, understandable piece of understanding these last few months that we walked away going, oh, that's what Revelation means. And I have a hope. And I have a clarity. And I have an assurance that God is still in control and that His plans and purposes are being accomplished through everything that has taken place from the moment Adam and Eve were created until the moment that we're standing right here, and until the trumpet sounds, and until we're caught up, and until the tribulation takes place, and until He sets up His earthly kingdom for the millennial reign, and until He creates a new heaven and a new earth. God's plans and purposes will be accomplished. So God's perspective needs to be our perspective today. And I want to encourage you with a story that is found in all four of the Gospels, and it reads this way. And I'm just going to tell you the story. Jesus, and you usually hear this around Easter time, comes into Israel, into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. And people were waving palm branches. And some were laying their coats and garments on the ground so that as the donkey that Jesus was riding upon passed by, he was not walking on the dirt, but on the coats and the palm branches. And they were crying out phrases such as, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were saying stuff like, blessed is he who is the lineage of David, the kingdom is coming. They were hollering out phrases such as that. And what you need to understand as a perspective is this. They weren't just crying out to him as the Son of God, even though I think they still kind of had that idea that he was something special. But in their minds, they were hoping and crying out and waving their palm branches and declaring that Jesus was going to rescue them from the momentary oppression of the Roman Empire that they were living under. They were living under such oppression that they were looking for a way of escape. They were looking for freedom. And they were seeing Jesus as their ticket to that end. Amen. And so when they were waving their palm branches before Jesus that day and crying out, Hosanna, they were thinking in a very small way, in a very temporal way, to rescue me now out of this, and we're going to set you. They were ready to set him up as the king right then. In fact, there were several times, if you read the Gospels, where they were about ready to just prop him up as the ruler at that moment. And Jesus continued to walk away from that. He continued to push away, to reject that. Because, see, Jesus knew as they were waving the palm branches that they were wanting to just exalt him and set him up as the immediate king of Jerusalem and Israel. And they were ready to rise up and push away Rome and set up and be able to get back their nation again. Jesus knew they were thinking that. But Jesus had a bigger plan. Jesus knew that his Father had a bigger plan. And so he's riding this donkey. They're waving the palm branches. And people, his disciples and other believers that were there, were looking at that at the moment and saying, this is it. This is our moment. We're getting ready to overthrow the Roman government, and we're getting ready to have our nation back, and Jesus is going to be our leader. That's what they were thinking. And they were so excited. Imagine, put yourself in their shoes, being oppressed over the Roman rule for all of those years. And then here comes Jesus riding the donkey. And you're waving palm branches along with the rest of them, thinking, only just a few more days, and Jesus is going to overtake, and we're going to be reigned and ruled by him. Only just a few more days of this tyranny and oppression, and we're going to be free. Well, we know that he rode in on a Monday or so, and by Thursday, 3 days later, the very ones that were crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, were also then crying, crucify him. A fickle bunch we are, aren't we? A narrow-minded bunch we are, aren't we? We look at those people and think, wow, how could they do that? But folks, we're no different. Because we place our faith in a person instead of God's plan. When we place our faith in a governmental structure instead of the eternal kingdom of God. When we place our faith in a political movement, instead of realizing that we actually live in a monarchy, because our kingdom is not of this earth, but it's of heaven, and our monarch is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who reigns and rules over everything seen and unseen. So if the votes and the election doesn't go the way that we want it, whether it be the president, whether it be the governor, whether it be the senator, whoever, we get in despair. And we lose our hope, and we lose our heart, and we lose our focus, and we lose our understanding of why we exist. Remember last Sunday, I said, no matter how the election goes, and if you remember last Sunday too, I said, it probably is not going to be decided on Tuesday night. And folks, like I said, it's still not been decided, no matter what the Associated Press says, and no matter what you see on TV. And can I just encourage you, please turn the TV off. Just turn it off. Turn it off. I tell you what, all day yesterday we had the TV off and it was wonderful. It was such a peace in our house. And we just began to pray. And just turn it off. You don't need to have people manipulate you by the phrases that they say, by their opinions. Listen, everybody has an opinion, one way or the other. Let me tell you, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. I'm gonna trust in his word as the final word. No matter what, no matter what happens here, God is still in control. So here's Jesus coming through the city of Jerusalem, and people are hollering out, Hosanna. The disciples and those are so excited, just a few days from now, we're going to see things change. And they did change, but it wasn't what they thought. Ended up, Jesus was falsely accused, put before Pilate. We know the story. And he was crucified. And there he is, the very one that was riding the donkey, being praised 3 days before, is now dragging a heavy cross after he was beaten, bloodied, and senseless, unrecognizable by the Roman soldiers. Our Savior was battered and beaten for us. And the very ones that that placed their faith in Jesus 3 days later were in despair and hearts broken as Jesus is carrying this heavy cross down the same streets of Jerusalem, of Jerusalem, heading to Golgotha to be crucified. The very ones that were hollering out Hosanna 3 days before, many of them were hollering out, why? Why? What's going on? You see, God had a bigger plan. God has a bigger plan in your life. God has a bigger plan in this nation, and God has a bigger plan for this world. So imagine again putting yourself in their position, in their shoes. You were hollering out Hosanna 3 days before along with the rest of the crowd. And now there's a smaller crowd hollering out, why? Why? And those are being drowned out by crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Spitting upon him and treating him as not a human. Imagine the despair, the heartbreak of the people. Put yourself in their shoes. But God had a bigger plan. God has a bigger plan. God's perspective is, I got this. Let me just back up just for a moment. Because the night before, Jesus was in the garden of Gethsemane. And you know this story. He was praying to God. And part of his prayer was, Lord, if it's possible, would you take this cup from me? In other words, if there's another way to fulfill your plan, would you do it? I'm not sure I want to die here. I'm not sure I want to give my life. But then he qualified it by saying, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that's where we need to be. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You see, because God has a bigger plan. God's perspective is different than our perspective. And so Jesus yielded to that. And it wasn't just a few moments after that that here comes the Roman soldiers, Judas betraying Jesus, and then everything set in motion to where there he is hanging on the cross. And he's crying out things. And people are in despair, crying up to Jesus, realizing that he is in the process of dying. And then he breathes his last. And the few that were left hanging around the cross, walking through the entire process with them, hanging on to the very end, finally looked at one another and said, well, I guess that's it. I guess there's no more hope. I guess we were wrong. I guess we just need to go on with our lives and realize that maybe God doesn't love us. God doesn't care. God's not in control. We got this wrong. And really, I think maybe there were some of them thinking that God got this wrong. So Jesus is taken off the cross. His body's wrapped and placed in a borrowed tomb. I love that part. It's borrowed because he's not going to need it very long. He gave it on back and said, here, I don't need this anymore. After 3 days of sorrow, after 3 days of despair, after 3 days of utter sadness and confusion, after 3 days of hopelessness, after 3 days, we know that Jesus rose again. We know that he defeated death and hell in the grave, don't we? You see, our perspective is 2020. Looking back, ironically, we're in the year 2020. Our perspective is 2020. We know all that happened. And we can say to those disciples and believers, oh, why didn't you just have faith? Why didn't you just trust? See, Jesus tried to tell them at least 3 times, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be crucified. He prophesied it at least 3 times. And they didn't even listen to it. They thought, oh, he's speaking in figurative form. He's teaching a parable. He doesn't mean that. He doesn't mean that literally. It went in one ear and out the other. He warned them that this was going to happen, and they didn't believe it. And when it finally happened, they still didn't believe it. They didn't want to believe it, but they had to believe it. Because in fact that he did die. They watched it happen. So in that despair of those 3 days, imagine, put yourself in their situation again. They felt hopeless. They felt in despair. They felt like God had abandoned them. They felt like there was no way that anything was going to change going forward. But they didn't know what God knew, because see, God has a bigger plan. God's perspective is different than ours. And God was carrying out something that was far greater than what the plans that they had were. You see, their plan was, Jesus, we want you to be our earthly king. And Jesus would have grown old and died, and that would have been for about 30 or 40 years more, maybe, that they would have had this earthly reigning and ruling of King Jesus on the earth. But we know that through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that he now is not limited to being in one place at a time, but that he is able to be at all places at all times, because he's not limited to a body anymore. He is now a spirit, and his spirit lives in you and in me and in those that are believers in Africa and Asia and South America and Europe and all across this globe. Jesus couldn't be in one place. He could only be in one place at one time when he was here the first time. But now he's in all believers. You see, the bigger plan that God had was that he would set up his reigning and ruling and kingship in all of us. And that his kingdom is not a 30 or 40 year kingdom in Jerusalem, but it's an eternal kingdom in heaven. You see, God's plans are bigger than our plans. His perspective is different than our perspective. And I want to share this story with you today to encourage you. No matter who you voted for, no matter what your hopes and dreams are, and if I can just expand this thing out, forget the election for just a second. Just put that aside. What about in your life? What about your hopes and dreams? What about the situations that you're going through right now today? That you're looking at your life and saying, I thought it would be different than it actually is. I thought that I would grow old with my spouse, but he died before me. Now what do I do? I thought that I would be further along in my retirement and as far as investing. And now here I am right on the edge of getting ready to retire, and I'm not where I need to be financially. I thought that the Lord would open up more doors for me and use me in different ways, but yet here I am still floundering around in certain ways in my life. I thought it would be far past those habits in my life that I thought were not going to reign and rule over me, but here I am 20 or 30 years down the road, and I'm still falling into that same trap. I don't understand this in my life. And on and on and on it goes. But we've got to understand that God has a bigger plan. And God is still in control. And God is not surprised by anything that's going on in your life, in this nation, or in this world. Because God has a different perspective than you and I. And I need you. I need you as the body of Christ. I need you, if you're viewing this here today, to pull way back. Way back. And get God's perspective. You see, if Jesus hadn't died and rose again, if he hadn't ascended to heaven, if he hadn't sent his believers to wait in Jerusalem for those few days, if they hadn't have done that, if they hadn't waited on that promise from on high, the Holy Spirit would not have done what he did to fall on those 120 or so in the upper room, which birthed the church, which launched the gospel of Jesus Christ over the face of this earth. That's why we exist, by the way. It's not to commiserate with one another. It's not to play bingo on a Sunday. Right? Fellowship is good. Fun is great. But folks, we've been called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We, as the bride of Christ, are the vehicle for the good news of Jesus to a lost and broken and fallen world. And we've strayed so far away from that in so many ways. Church of Jesus Christ, wake up and listen to this. Our greatest days are ahead. And if we'll stay focused on why we exist today, and that is to be the light and the salt to a world that is flavorless and walking in darkness, then we will see the greatest days that the church has ever experienced if we'll do what Christ has called us to do. Amen. We're the vehicle for the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And in the days ahead, I believe, as we get closer to the rapture of the church, the Bible says where sin abounds, His grace much more abounds. The Bible says where it gets darkest, My light can shine the brightest. And I believe that we're in a place in our world today where sin is rampant, where Satan is no longer behind the scenes or on the outskirts. He is bold-faced in front of all of us, in the church and outside of the church, by the way. And he's not cloaking anything anymore, it seems. The Bible says what will be spoken of as evil at one time is going to be eventually spoken of as good in the last days. And right is going to be called wrong, and wrong is going to be called right. We're living in those days, folks. And Satan is no longer dancing around the outskirts. He's right in the middle of things, and it's becoming dark. But how many knows if you're in the middle of the darkest field, and the moon is not a full moon, it's just hardly there. And if someone were to be a mile away and just light a little candle, you can see that light, can't you? Can't you? You see, we're in a dark time right now, and we can't just ignore that. But what we can do is, instead of cursing the darkness, instead of identifying the darkness and saying, well, there's nothing we can do, we can say, wait a minute, but God says that I am to shine my light before men so that they may see my good works and glorify my Father who's living in me, who lives in heaven as well. And so as we do those good works, as we shine the light of Christ in the darkness that we're living in, folks, it doesn't matter who the president's going to be, by the way. We're still living in an age of darkness. Hear me today. No matter who's in control of the government or whoever's sitting in the White House, I should say, we still live in an age of darkness because Satan knows that his time is short and he's pulling out all the stops. But greater is he that is in you and me than he that's in the world. The church will not abandon ship. The church will not be ineffective. The church's greater days are not behind us. The Bible prophesies that in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And there's going to be young men that are going to see visions and prophesy and dream dreams, and old men and young and old women too. All of the church is going to rise up and be the salt and light that he's called us to be. Our better days, our best days are ahead. If we pull back and realize that no matter what happens in this nation or in this world, that God has a master plan and he's bringing it about. I want you to realize something here, that John 12:24 says this. Jesus says this. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. We saw Jesus do that. He died. But now through him, many seeds have taken place. We are a seed. We're a seed. And we also need to die and go into a place of saying, Lord, help me to die so that many seeds through me will be produced. But I want to declare something over the church this morning. And I'm not going to keep you too long here. But I want to leave you with encouragement this morning. But I want to declare the word of God over you this morning. I want to proclaim this scripture over you today. It was written initially for the nation of Israel. But we've been grafted into the vine. As the church, we can take anything that's in God's word and apply it to our lives. And this is one of them that I'm going to declare over the church of Jesus Christ today. I want you to open up and receive this. It says in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2, arise and shine, for your light has come. Church, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Arise, church, and shine, for your light has come. Prophetically, I believe that we're in that age and that era and that prophetic timeline of the church arising and the light of Christ shining as never before. Do you believe me this morning? Do you agree with me this morning? If you do, I want you to give God praise. Folks, we walk by faith and not by sight. So I want to leave you with these scriptures. Instead of walking in fear today, because I know that there's so many that are walking in fear right now, I want to speak to that fear in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke fear in this place. I rebuke fear in every life. I need you to do the same thing in your life. Don't just let me rebuke it for you. You rebuke it. I rebuke fear. Fear is not of God. The opposite of fear is what? Faith. 2 Timothy says in verse 7 of chapter 1, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. You see, fear doesn't come from God. But he's given us a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of a sound mind. How many wants to have a spirit of power in your life today? Come on, lift up your hand if you do. Just lift it up and receive it. How many wants to have a spirit of love right now in your life? If you want that and you need it, receive it right now. How many wants to have a spirit of a sound mind right now? Oh God, give us a spirit of sound mind. Let me just pray that over you right now. Lift up your hands. Father God, we need not a spirit of fear. We bind it. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. It's not coming from you. We're going to walk in your power. We're going to walk in the spirit of your power. Father, we thank you for your power today that is overwhelming us, that is filling us today. I declare, Lord God, that you're going to help us to walk in your love, not in hate, not in division. Father God, help us to love the red, the yellow, the black, and the white, the Democrat, the Republican, the independent. Help us to love the homosexuals and those that are heterosexuals. Father God, help us to love those of all religions. Help us to walk in your love. And as we walk in your love, Lord God, people are going to be drawn to that genuineness of your love in us and be drawn to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Help us to walk in your love, I pray, and help us to walk in your soundness of mind. We bind and take captive every thought that enters into our minds that is not of you. Father, we choose to walk in a sound mind, and we do that by replacing the lies of the enemy and the confusion of the enemy with your word, with the promises and the declarations and the truth of your word that gives us peace, that gives us strength, that gives us clarity, that gives us hope. Father, I pray a sound mind over each one that is listening to this prayer right now. Come into agreement with it right now, body of Christ. I declare a sound mind over this nation. I declare a sound mind over this world. I declare I speak against fear over the church of Jesus Christ in this nation in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that your church would rise up in power and in love, the love of Christ, and in the soundness of mind that you give us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to your name. Instead of walking in fear, walk in faith. Instead of walking in fear, walk in faith. Don't walk by sight, but walk by faith. Don't act upon what you see. Oh God, help us. I just stay here one more moment. Stop acting upon what you see. Your eyes are fooling you. Your eyes are keeping you, straying you away. Your eyes, you're looking to the left and to the right. The Lord declares this morning to keep your eyes fixed on Him. The Lord reminds us to not look to the left or to the right, but to keep our eyes fixed on Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. You need to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Look into the fullness of His glory, of His hope, of His joy, of His strength. Stop looking to the other things. In the name of Jesus, help us to do that, Lord. Instead of, here's the next thing. Just receive this. Just keep your eyes closed and just pray this. Instead of speaking death, declare life. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Stop speaking death to this nation. Stop speaking death to your family, to your marriage. Stop speaking death to your body. Stop. The doctor's reports are one thing. You know, your boss says to you one thing, that's fine. The marriage counselor says something to you, that's it, their opinion. But I am going to believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to stand on the word of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 17, I will not die, but live and declare what the Lord has done. I declare that this nation will not die. This church will not die, but live, and we will declare the word, what the Lord has done. We will declare what the Lord has done. We will declare the word of the Lord, His goodness, His greatness. Here's the next thing. Instead of being sad, if you're sad today, the Bible says stop being sad. The Bible says to rejoice and be glad. Psalm 4:4, Philippians 4:4 says rejoice in the Lord, how often? Always. Not when things go your way. Not when things are, not when you feel good, not when it's a bright sunshiny day, not when the election goes your way. Rejoice in the Lord, say it with me, always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. It's emphatic. It's not just saying it once, hey, you need to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. It's an emphatic command. Because God knows that our heart is easily in despair. Our hearts are easily saddened. And so we need to command our hearts today to rejoice. I want to pray that over you right now. Would you receive it? Father God, I pray over every heart that is saddened in despair, no matter what the circumstance, whether it be this election or whether it be something personal in their lives. Father, help us to command our souls to rejoice in You. That we command ourselves right now. I will rejoice. It's an act of our will. I command my will to rejoice in the Lord and the God of my salvation. Would you receive that this morning, church? And would you walk this out this morning, church? No matter what it is that you're saddened about, whatever it is that you're walking in despair about, stop right now and say, wait a minute. I can choose to be sad. Or I can choose to be glad. I can choose to be in despair, or I can choose to rejoice. And as for me and my house, I'm going to choose to rejoice. It's not going to do any good, folks, if you walk in despair and sadness. It's only going to make people sad and despairing around you. But if you walk in joy and you're rejoicing, that also is infectious. And I encourage you to open up your mouths and rejoice in the Lord. And when someone comes to you and says something that is a bad report, you say, I believe the report of the Lord. And you begin to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. We need to rejoice in the Lord this morning. And instead of fussing and fuming, let's pray. Oh God, forgive us for the words that we've said this week that have spoken death, that have been poisonous, that have been negative, that have been hateful towards both candidates, towards anything that's going on in this nation. Oh God, all of these conspiracy theories and all these things that we're just spewing out stuff, and we're listening to all these reports, and we're listening to all these opinions, and God, we're regurgitating them back up. And we're fussing and we're fuming and we're worrying. God, help us, stop us in our tracks, Holy Spirit. And help us to take those words and give them to You in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18 says this, pray without ceasing. I'm going to say it again, pray without ceasing. That means, do I have to be on my knees the whole time? No, you do in your heart, but not necessarily physically. Kind of hard to do that and drive and work and cook and all that. But we have to, in our hearts, have an attitude of praying, just continually interceding. I'm going to continue with this verse. It says, giving thanks in all circumstances. There we go again. How in the world can I give thanks for what's happening in my life right now? How in the world can I possibly give thanks about what's going on in our nation right now? It's so divided. There's so much hurt. There's so much turmoil and confusion going on. How can I give thanks? Lord, show me your perspective. Help me to give thanks that you are ultimately going to have your will accomplished. You are ultimately going to fulfill your purposes. The reason that I need to do this, Lord, is because your word says that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's your will that I pray without ceasing and that I give thanks in all circumstances. Help me to find the good in everything and to give thanks for it. And in the things that I don't understand, that I'm not real happy about, I'm going to thank you anyway because I know that you're in control. And I'm not going to worry. And I'm not going to fuss and fume and fret. I'm not going to get on social media and do hateful word bombs and phrases to people that I don't even know that live 2,000 miles away. I'm going to give you thanks. I'm going to expend my energies on praying and giving you thanks in all circumstances and trust you with the big stuff. Folks, let me encourage you to pull way back to God's perspective on things. I want you to remember that His prophecy is going to be fulfilled and His plans are going to be accomplished. And in the big picture of things, Jesus is coming soon. In the big picture of things right now, I'm going to say it again, Jesus is coming soon. No matter who's president, Jesus is coming soon. No matter what's going on in the nation or the world, Jesus is coming soon. Keep your perspective there, okay? The Bible says there's a song that I remember when I was a kid. Signs of the times are everywhere. Remember that song? And one of the phrases says, keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. When I was a kid, I would think, which way is the east? Because I always wanted to make sure I was looking the right way. Isn't that funny? I'd be looking over here, he's coming over here, and I missed it, you know? I don't want to do that. But I realized what that was really in my child's thinking. Really what that's saying is just, listen, you just keep your eyes up, lift it up. Now don't, it'd be like a salamander, by the way. Keep one eye lifted up, but keep the other eye to the harvest field. Lord, help me to be able to do that. I'm not going to just be looking up to you and say, oh, whatever happens, I don't care because Jesus is coming back. I do care. And I'm part of this last generation that's responsible to make sure that I'm making a difference for the kingdom, right? So, yeah, I'm going to look to the harvest field. But I'm also going to keep my eyes fixed on Christ because ultimately, pulling way back, His perspective is Jesus is coming soon. And folks, listen to this. Our mandate for preaching the gospel and for being the church, to my understanding, and I haven't gotten a report from the Lord. If anybody has, let me know. But it has not changed from the time He mandated it in Mark 16:15 that we are to preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. It's still current and active, that mandate. And many in the church and many churches, I think, have just set that aside and said, well, that's done with, or leave that to someone else. But folks, that is all of the church is mandated to do that. And whether this election ultimately turns out like you hope to or not, let's all be about our Father's business. Because that's ultimately what matters in the big scheme of things. Amen? Amen. And what is God's business, by the way? Some of you said it. What is it? Souls. Yeah, you've heard me say that many times before. If God was a CEO of a business, His product is souls, right? That's what they manufacture, if you want to call it that. If you just kind of keep that analogy going. He manufactures souls. And we're His employees. And we're there in that factory, and we're building and creating and manufacturing souls, okay? It's to keep with the analogy. And so we're His workers, all right? And we're in partnership with Him. You know, you can talk to any CEO or any business owner here, and they say, well, how's business? And we know what the bottom line is for that business. If business is going well, that means profits are up. You know, sales are up. And the way you're making the stuff is down. I mean, you've been able to save some expense on that, but you're making a profit on this end. Hey, the margin's great. Well, from God's perspective and in his economy and his business, if his business is souls, and someone were to ask you as an employee of his company, how's business? I declare in the name of Jesus that we will from this moment on say, it's never been better. We're breaking every record. Business is great because his business is souls. And we need to be about our Father's business of souls. So get your eyes off the swirling mess of confusion around us, folks. Keep your eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ. And as you keep your eyes fixed on him, he's going to take those eyes and say, now look to the harvest field that's ripened to harvest. Now what are you going to do about it? That's what I believe God's perspective on things are today. And it would serve us well if we make a choice to look at things around us through God's eyes, walking in faith and hope and love. I want us to pray. And we prayed last Sunday night. Had a great time of prayer in this place, worship and prayer for the election. And I'm going to say this again. And again, I'm not espousing for one candidate or the other. I made my vote. I made my choice. But it's not to me to say to you who to vote for. That's already been done. But I am going to ask you as a church to pray, because the decisions have already been made. And I pray that whoever it is that God has for this nation, through whatever process that continues on, whether it be Biden or Trump, that the truly elected president will be the one that's appointed to office. And if it has been a truly elected president through these votes that have happened this week, and it bears out that that's the case, then folks, we pray for Joe Biden. We pray for, the Bible says we need to pray for those that are leaders over us, right? If it's Donald Trump for 4 more years, then we need to pray for him. But between now and the time that it's official, I want to ask you as the church to fast and pray. I think that is probably the most important, if not the most important 2 or 3 weeks that we have as a nation going forward in our nation's history. It's very important. Very important. I can't underemphasize that. And folks, instead of us going about our daily business and saying, well, what can I do? The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous person availeth much. And if truth needs to be revealed, then let it be revealed. If there's no truth to be revealed and it's all good, then so be it. And I hope that you share that sentiment with me. I'm just wanting truth to rule the day. I want Jesus to rule the day. And if there's any manipulation in this, so be it. Let it be exposed. If not, then we celebrate Joe Biden as our president. Okay? So I need you to pray, church, whatever that looks like, because we can make a difference. Remember, Abraham negotiated with God. Would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah if this many people, and if this many people, and if this many people, and if this many people were righteous? And I believe that if Abraham would have continued asking, and it got down to one, Lot would have been the one, that God probably would have just held back and said, yeah, if there's just one. But he stopped for some reason, like at 5 or something like that. What, 5? I don't know the number. It was, 10, 5 or 10? I mean, he stopped at a certain point that wasn't quite one. And I guess Abraham thought, well, I guess your mercy can't be extended if it's just one, so your mercy has limits. Listen, God's mercy has no limits, and so let's pray, and let's move the hand. We can negotiate with God. Did you know that we can negotiate with God? It's all right to negotiate. Oh, well, God's sovereign. Yeah, but he asks to engage in prayer, and there's some reason for that. So let's pray. Let's make our petitions known. Right? All right. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to encourage you this morning. From God's perspective, let's not be in despair. Let's walk in hope. Let's be the church, and let's understand that God's business is souls, and we need to continue, as we have been, being about our Father's business. Father God, today, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the example of your word. Jesus, we know that those people on that day, that week, had their plans, and they were turned upside down because they couldn't see clearly what you saw clearly. Now, Lord, we're in that same situation right now where we can't see clearly what's going on. But, Lord, help us to not be like they were, walking in despair and hopelessness, where we just scatter and walk in confusion and feel like all is lost. But, Father, help us to realize that we need to walk by faith and not by sight, and to trust you with the big picture and know that you got everything under control, and that you're going to raise up the man that you want in that office, and no human is going to change your plan. And we thank you, Lord God, whatever that looks like, we'll accept it, and we will pray for that man that is placed in the office of the White House. We will pray for those that are placed in the Senate, in the House of Representatives, our governors, our local and state representatives. We will pray for them. But Lord, right now, we're still in between the vote and the decision. And so as that's hanging in the balance, we do like Abraham did, and we negotiate with you and we plead with you, Lord Jesus, let your will be accomplished. And we're going to trust in you with the outcome. And then once that's settled, Father, we're going to be about our Father's business. And we're going to focus on your kingdom, souls for your kingdom, building your kingdom, and trusting in you no matter what. Father, encourage your church today. That we wouldn't look to the left or to the right, that we wouldn't walk in hopelessness, but that we would walk in joy, in faith, and in hope. Knowing that your plan ultimately, in the big picture, is going to be accomplished. Jesus, you're coming soon. Help us to stay focused on the harvest field. And let the light of Christ shine brightly through us. Let the church's best days be ahead of us. I declare that in Jesus' name, over your church, the Church of Jesus Christ, and over this local body of believers. We love you, and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. I want you to give the Lord a large praise clap offering as a way of praising him and saying, Lord, I thank you that you're still in control. Thank you, Lord.